Michael's here, by the way. Can I ask this gentleman to share what he saw earlier?
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
So during worship, I was kind of scanning the room, you know, Holy Spirit, what's going on in here? And I saw angels standing behind everyone in a big circle. And they came up with little cushions in their hands, like a ring bearer at a wedding. I had a little cushion with some, and they had like jewelry on them, and they started wrapping necklaces around people's necks and setting crowns on their heads. And then worship kind of wound down, and so I didn't get the conclusion of that.
Okay, that's interesting. Can I share something? Yeah. Our last ascension, wasn't it, y'all? Gwenny, where are you?
I'm right here.
Oh, our last ascension, the crown thing with Jesus.
Yes.
We saw Jesus, and he was, well, first we saw him in the form of a lion with a crown on his head, and he was coming towards us with such purpose. I mean, it was majestic how he looked. And then he morphed into Jesus the man, and he had his white horse. With his crown. And so the Lord in that ascension, we've been learning to go up into the heavenly realm corporately as a group, okay? So in that particular ascension, I won't get into everything that happened, but the Lord was saying to us that crowns mean royalty and authority. So that God was giving us authority. So I believe that what Ian saw this morning during worship was very, very, very important. So I just want y'all to know, you're not just here for some fun-loving guy to give you information. You're actually here representing the kingdom of God. Those crowns represent your authority and your royalty. It's really, really important. So I want you all to know that this is serious business. This is not games, fun games. I'm a very serious person when it comes to my father and his business. And he wants the church to be serious. This is a serious time in history, too, by the way. So,
you guys brought crowns. Brad and Gwen, since we went to the wedding last week, 2 weeks ago, the crown that Karen's father-in-law put on her head.
Yes.
As they pronounced them man and wife, it was toward the end of the wedding, and the father who was actually doing the sermon, which was really cool because he was from India, and he was putting the crown on the new bride. And it was kind of life-changing to me to see this, because it was an Indian. I mean, he was a Christian, but he was Indian. And so you guys can help me describe this, but I came home and I did this over myself because it was so moving. I just thought, okay, I want some of that, you know. But he's getting ready to pronounce the man and wife, and there was a bunch of things that he did, but with the crown, he had like some kind of a chain, and I think there was a cross at the end of the chain, and he walked up to her, and he took the cross, and he touched it on her like, I'll do it on myself, just, so it was kind of like, it was like touching like north, south, east, west of her head, and then he just kind of wrapped it around a couple of times, and he did that, and he talked about, it was in this written thing that he was talking about what he was doing, he did it three times on her head, and it was him welcoming her into the family, and putting this crown on her head. It was really, really beautiful. So it just kind of is really special.
And we also learned that crowns were governmental.
Yes.
When the Lord gives you, when you see Jesus as king, there is something, it's a governmental purpose. It's not just that he's king, just like he came with a governmental purpose, that we have a governmental mandate that.
Yeah. And that's very true. And you know, we are the government of God. When we talk about politics, when people try to talk to me about them, I'm like, oh, I'm not political, I'm governmental. So that's how you sort of shut that down.
Whoa.
So that all does actually dovetail into the scripture. So the scripture that this conference event is Luke 12:49. And it says, I have come to cast fire upon the earth. How I wish it was already kindled, already blazing. So when Jesus is saying this, so Jesus always says things on purpose, right? Sometimes we don't get his purposes, but he doesn't like, he doesn't like back off of what he's called to do. Like, and same thing with you. When you sort of walk in your calling and purpose, it's not about you always having to explain what you're doing for other people. You need to be true to you and true to him, right? Just as Jesus, when he walked, he was true to his Father, right? So when he said this statement, people were like, going, what? What do you mean by that? Now, they did have a better context, right? And hopefully in this session, we'll talk about how I believe he was fulfilling an Old Testament activity with this scripture, okay? But from what you guys talked about in the government, the crown stuff, and the fire, so if he's, and let me talk about it earlier in the last session, if the fire of God is really him, it's more about how can I, so you know how Adam in the beginning, his mandate was to take this government of Eden and spread it across all the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so the plans and purposes of God that each of us have in us, we have a blueprint from the Father about our personal role of taking our fire and making it a blazing piece across the planet, right? Mm-hmm. So each of us has a log or a part of the flame that we got to take from a spark. And we talked about earlier that the hay, or the word fire up there is really the first letter Aleph, next word Shen. Aleph is God and Shen is Jesus. And I said, where's the Holy Spirit? But if you let the Holy Spirit blow on the fire, then that fire will kindle or blaze. Mm-hmm. So in the scriptures talking about, it starts with the fire, but if my real goal is you be blazing, okay? The real goal is for you to be fully in agreement with God's plans and purposes, so you cannot just be a little light, but you're a light on a hill, you're a fire on a hill which cannot be hidden, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's who we really are and who we're going to talk about. So last session we talked about what is fire, and I want to talk about how does fire spread, okay? And I started with a Google search in Wikipedia, fire, you know, and I was like, God, this is kind of dry. He goes, hold on, I'll spice it up. But fire spreads in three ways. Conduction, if you're writing, it's conduction, convection, and radiation, okay? And we're going to talk about how the natural is some groundwork for what goes on in the spirit, right? If you can understand the natural, then hopefully you can understand the spirit too, right? And Jesus said that in John chapter 3 too. If you don't understand the natural, how can you understand the spirit? Mm-hmm. But we're going to get there. Also, something I forgot to say, because this is my third time down here. You're welcome to ask any question anytime that goes on. So I forgot to give you guys that liberty. Some of you will take the liberty, but it really is, you're free to do that. So don't think that I'll wait to the end or da 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 da. When something's burning, literally burning on you, feel free to, you know, throw a hand up or go, hey, I got a question, right? So again, fire spreads through conduction, convection, and radiation. And conduction, I'm going to read the definition. And so again, through this teaching, we go through the natural thing, give you some spiritual application and how this affects you directly. Because you are the fire that needs to spread across the land. How are you going to spread across the land? How is the gift of God in you going to come into increase the flame, and how you're going to duplicate yourself and touch things beyond you? That's what government is. It's you're influencing people and things and bring it under the king, right? Mm-hmm. So how does your fire make a difference? And that's what we're going to talk about. How do you get out of you, let the King of Glory come out of you and change your sphere of influence, right? Some of you have cities to govern. Some of you have just your life to govern. Some of you have colleges. Some of you have areas of media to govern. Some of you have books, poems, works, you know. And so that which is in you has got to come out and burn and touch the world.
Yes, Lord.
So, conduction. The passage of is the passage of heat energy moving through or within a material because of direct contact, right? Such as like, you know, you throw a piece of charcoal into something and it burns and it hits other coal. And if you throw it in a piece of dry wood, it conducts, right? It heats up. So the conduction, you know, we bring in the spirit realm, it's kind of more like impartation. How can something in you touch somebody else, right? And the scripture, Romans 1:11, which is also my, it's my scripture, I'm gonna lend it out to you guys, but this is mine. And if you wanna use it, I need you to send me 35 cents in the mail and actually activate this. But this is a word that scripture the Lord used me in my calling. Romans 1:11, for I yearn to see you that I may impart to you and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you, right? Again, that I may impart to you. This is Paul speaking to a whole city. I want to come to you, so I want to impart to you a spiritual gift. And we're talking about fire here. We're talking about conduction and how we get the fire in your belly that's a raging fire. And we talked about the fire of God is God. How do I get him that's in you to affect and influence a people group, a city, an environment? Okay. How does the fire of God change an environment? Whether it be a secular environment, a teaching environment, a Pilates environment, a dance environment, a movie set environment, whatever the environment is, how can the fire of God in you change that environment, right? It's not natural. We're going to tap in the supernatural, right? And so when the Father gives you something, he always equips you to do something. Don't stay in your head. So when the Lord told me, he says, you know, this is your verse, and he goes, okay, you're going to be in part. I go, what does that mean? How do I get what's in me into somebody else? Do I do a neat teaching thing in my little thought in my head, go to their head? And he was like, no, it'll be impartation. And he reminded me of a scene in the ninth grade. In the ninth grade, I was in an art class. In the ninth grade, there was this girl who did awesome art in every medium known to man. She was a gifted little young lady, and we all despised her, right? Because she was gifted, and we were not gifted, right? And so I don't know if we'd done paints yet, but anyway, we were in the clay phase of the ninth grade, right? And if those who work with clay, you know, you're supposed to work the clay, get the air bubbles out, you know, before you put it in the kiln, you got to work it out, put it in your structure, then you put it in the kiln. And I had thought I'd worked out my air bubbles, but my little Volkswagen was full of air bubbles. Okay. And it went in the kiln, and it exploded and destroyed all of the awesome works of art that are in there. So all the creative people were like, what?
You know?
All the non-creative people were like, yeah. And so the Lord brings us back to my memory. I'm thinking, so you're calling me the destroyer? What are you doing, right? And he goes, no, impartation is this. He said, impartation is when your Volkswagen exploded, it was embedded into all those other works of art. And when it came out of the kiln, those pieces of you will never, ever be able to come out of those other pieces. Mm-hmm. I said, what does that mean? He says, I'm gifting you with the ability of impartation. What's in you, the revelation you release, will be imparted to people, and they will never have an excuse about, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I go, what? Mm-hmm. And so he also said, you need to warn people. If they come to one of your meetings and they have all these excuses why they can't do something, let them know they will not leave without revelation. It'll be embedded in their being. Now they have the responsibility to open up that which is there, but they'll never say, I never got something. Mm-hmm. That at my meetings, that excuse will be removed. Okay. I don't have any other excuses, but that one will be removed. I never got anything from God. Yeah, back in June, you went to a Wally meeting, and you got a lot of stuff. and you never unpacked it. Well, I thought, stop thinking, start doing, okay? So impartation, the fire in you will launch out of you, just like when out of the tabernacle, I guess I'm thinking of Raiders Lost Ark, but also the fire of God coming out of the ark. You are now the host of the fire, right? Fire comes out of your being, just like out of your belly, rivers of living waters will flow. The King of Glory and His lightness can flow out of you too. You, by your direct contact, you're going to be changed in the world, if we will believe, right? So, but it also says in there that I may impart to you and share with you some spiritual gift. It's just not a natural thing. We got to stop living on natural levels, okay? And I'm like, well, is it about intelligence and me preparing 80 hours and study? He goes, that's good, but you can't rely upon natural, okay? And so a few things went on, and I was getting some revelation, and I went to speak. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you an upgrade. I go, what's that? I'm going to give you two fiery ones at your meeting. I go, well, what's that? What's a fiery one? I assumed fiery ones were seraphim, right? I assumed that he was giving me two seraphim angels to run around the room and prepare people for the revelation, prepare people for my impartation, for my explosive revelation, and that would happen. So I go to Atlanta that year with this new understanding. I tell the people, I said, well, this is what I heard, but let's do an experiment. They go, what? I said, well, the Lord said he released these two fiery ones. So if they're fiery, then they should naturally increase the temperature of the room. So y'all tell me if it gets hotter, because I want to see what God is doing. Right? I believe, but I want to see too. Right? And so they all go, okay, we'll be checking the temperature, you know, and open for impartation, and we'll be looking for fiery ones. And I said, good. So I started teaching, and then someone came in late to me about 10 minutes in the meeting. Lady comes in, and she, you know, your apologies and your, you know, mea culpa stuff. And then she goes, oh my gosh, it's so hot in here. And everyone just started screaming, oh my gosh, you know. And we had not told her because she came in late. And then I was like, oh, yes, okay. So since that time, I've been believing for that word, right? Mm-hmm. That he's assigned two fiery ones to be with me when I'm training. And I actually believe that when I train via Skype, whatever, that they have the ability to be there and hear and do that. And so I was telling everybody, it's seraphim, seraphim. And one day I go, God, think of the seraphim. He goes, I didn't give you seraphim. I said, you told me fiery ones. Yes, fiery ones, but you said seraphim. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, if the fiery ones aren't seraphim, what are they? You always need to go back to the Father and get his understanding, and don't assume. Don't be a Wally and assume. Just go, what do you say? Make it clear to me. He will, right? Because the relationship, he wants one to bring you back to him, not to Google, whatever, whatever, whatever. So I go, okay, my bad. So if they're not seraphim, what are these? They're flaming swords. I went, chapter and verse, you know? And so in Genesis, there's a flaming sword. And I'm like, what? You know, I got two flaming swords at a meeting? What? I'm like, every meeting. What? You know, what? You know, so I went to New Zealand last year and in November, and I'm in my first meeting, and I'm with this phenomenal worship team there, and they have a mandate to worship and release a sound in the North Island and the South Island. So 1 week they're in the North Island, they go to the South Island, they release it. Mm-hmm. And you can go on Facebook and find this group. I forget their name, the group, but they're wild. I walk in, and I'm the guest speaker. I use my guest speaker privileges. Hey, can I drum with you guys? They never see me drum at all, right? And they're like, well, now you're the guest speaker. I guess you have to. You know? So I'm up there, and so during the worship, I saw my two flaming swords. Mm. And I thought, I'm not teaching you. Oh, you're getting ready. Then I saw them start moving around the room. You talk about a dance, it's awesome. I never thought about this from a dance perspective, but the movement is kind of neat. Mm. But I saw them moving around the room. Then I saw them, I don't know if you remember like 8th grade biology when the cell separates, I don't know if you guys remember that. The mitochondrion does mm-hmm. the boom. My swords did that.
Wow.
And so my two swords became four swords. So I'm thinking, I have a double. It's me, right? I'm like, I got four! Boom, boom, boom. I got four! And the Lord's like, those other two aren't for you. They're for the worship team. And I was like, I don't get four. I thought they were, So I get down to worship, and I go, and the worship sat down in front, and I told the audience, you guys don't listen, I'm just going to talk to them real quick. And so there's like six of them, right? He goes, hey, and I explained to them about my swords, and I go, hey, now you guys have two flaming swords to go with your ministry. They go, what? I go, just believe and go with the swords, right? And they're like, they don't know me at all, and I didn't know them, and it was just like, little another American guy saying strange things, right? And so, they did worship that night, and I'm thinking, going, God, what goes on? Are there two swords still working with my two swords, or how's this working? Do they go with them? I don't know, because when you start thinking spiritually, start thinking what is exactly going on. You're allowed to think like that. That will change the way your brain functions, right? When you realize there's a fire burning you that wants to come out, when you go someplace and you say, like, okay, I can lift up my head here at work, and the King of Glory is going to come into my situation, what's that look like? Will you give the King of Glory permission? Will you let your fire out? Mm-hmm. Because a fire needs to be a blazing fire that is impactful.
Yes,
okay?
Lord.
But it's up to a lot of you, okay? The fire is there, God's there, but he wants to partner with you, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not about you saying neat things. This is about you just believing and letting him be, okay? So, this is weird. So, that scriptural, the spiritual gift thing, I was at a meeting, and I was driving down from Northern Virginia to Southern Virginia, and the Lord said, I want you to bring your little toy with you off your desk. I go, it's my toy. I like my toys for me. I don't like giving away my stuff. I have issues like that. And he goes, and it was a little toy that on the top of it, it was a green button with black. And if you touch it on the top, it says, strike when ready. No, fire when ready is the green button. And the Lord says, you need to take that with you and give it to Stevie McKee. And I go, but I bought it for me. It's mine. He goes, take the button with you, give it to Stevie McKee. I said, well, can he get his own toys? Is this for his kids back home? What's the deal? Just take the button. So I put the button in my backpack, and I go down there, and I'm thinking, I don't know him. I know Justin, but I don't know Stevie. And I said, well, so I give this whole thing. And I said, well, God, I don't want to do it. Well, okay, I'll give it to him, but tell me why. And if you tell me why, then I'll do it. And God said, I'm not going to tell you why. Well, I'm not going to give it. Now, this is bad, right? This is bad friendship, right? If you love the Lord, just do what he says, right? And he'll tell you later. And this is how you grow and mature. In the beginning, in the relationship, I'd ask you, tell me why. Yeah. Then I'd ask and ask for 12 scriptures, he'd give me 12 scriptures. But now it's like, we're tight, right? Yeah. So just do that. No, I want 12 scriptures and why and the impact and how many iterations it influences, da, 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 da. This is not faith. This is called reason and justification, right? But we don't live by that. We live by faith, right? Not by justification and understanding. Okay. So he doesn't tell me about why. And I can't understand. I said, Lord, I know about the Scotland ablaze. I know about the geese and how they thought the Holy Spirit's like the honking da-da-da. So how can a Star Wars sounding buzzer thingy even fit in the spiritual realm? Can you help me out? And I'm just racking my head. He's like, nope, 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 not going to tell you. So it's a silence. So I get down to the meeting, and they invite me to be a part of the worship team. I was like, yay, I can do this. So I'm thinking, okay, God, I'll give it to him if Stevie comes over to himself, and I don't want to do it publicly, especially when I don't know why. I can't say, and this is for, I hate that silence thing. So I set up my drum, I'm doing the warm-up stuff. They come in, Justin, Stevie, and Gene Schroeder comes in, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to approach them. He has to approach me. And sure enough, he comes. Now, I don't know him, right? And Stevie is short, and I'm tall, and I know he walks over to me, my drum, and starts talking to me. I'm thinking, okay, well, God did that part. Sure. But I'm still kind of testing the Lord if I'm actually hearing and stuff. So, because I'm walking in my trusty thingies, but I don't trust very well. So, in my mind, I still don't know.
What is that? I don't know.
Skype people coming?
No,
out?
They're not. I've turned them off forever. They are no longer my friends. Anyway, stop it. I'm thinking. So he walked over to me, and so I'm still not thinking. I still want to know why. I just can't give him the thing, and I think he'll say, "What for?" And I'll go, "Because he said," and maybe that's enough. It's not enough for me. And so I'm thinking, so I go like, okay, and a friend of mine had them in Canada, and she had jokingly said, when you see Stevie, give him a kiss for me. I go, I'm not going to do that. But in my mind, I think, okay, if I give Stevie a kiss on his cheek, then it'll be okay to receive a strange gift. This is my weird logic, right? So I bend down and give him a kiss. He doesn't freak out, you know. And I go, okay, then I guess it's okay to give him the strange gift. Strange Wally logic. So I go in my backpack and I pull out the green thingies as far when ready. I go, Stevie, stand right there, hold on. I go, here you go. And I'm thinking, when I do it, I'll get a download from the Lord of why. And I don't get it. So I go, here you go. And I go, does this mean anything to you? And he goes, oh my gosh, this means everything. And he runs off. And I'm like, but you didn't tell me. So he runs off with this little green button deal. He's running around the room and he's buzzing people with it. Now I'm embarrassed because I've loosed the Stephen McKee with a toy. They're gonna blame me, right? And I'm like, what's he doing? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to leave it on your desk and you press it. He's doing belly buttons and foreheads. And he's running around and I'm like, I don't know
how he got that.
I'm guilty by association. You know what I mean? I'm going to jail. He's gonna get a. He's just running around, and it's going. He's doing that. And so I'm just like going, God, I've unleashed the Scottish wild man. It's just like bad, right? And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to leave the meeting, and I'll just go to the hotel, and they'll just kind of handle this thing, right? I don't do that, and he gets up, and so Justin gets up and says, I'm going to have Stevie speak. Stevie gets up there with my little button that I gave, which is not mine anymore, it's now his. And he says, and he's very, I can't do his accent, but he's got a deep Scottish accent. So he says, I'm like, I got the message, Gloria. I got to give it a vault, but I didn't know the message until I got the fire. This is fire and ready. That's what they're going to talk about, the fire and ready. And I'm like going, what is he saying? Because no one can understand, all right? But he says, so the translation of the Scottish Brug is, he didn't know what he was going to talk about that day. He had two messages, one on fire and one on something else. But when I gave him the button that says fire when ready, he now knew he was supposed to speak on the fire, right? And I'm thinking, I'm in the front row going like, oh, it is God!
After you argued for an hour.
That's right. And so all of you guys are never going to argue with the Lord for an hour. You're just going to be a quick idiot, right?
Not an hour.
Maybe 59 minutes.
So I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, this is great, right? So he gives this great message about fire, okay, and fire releasing down in the Harrisburg area, fire, 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 it's great, I feel like I've been partnering with the Lord, I helped Stevie know this deal, yay, it's good. And so the meeting's over, and I'm back packing up my drum, and Justin comes at me and says, you know what you did? I go, no. He says, you reached into the spirit realm and gave Stevie a spiritual gift. And I went, no, I went to Hallmark, got it half price, it was on my desk, then God thought I was too selfish and I had to give it to Stevie. Because that was my natural view of what happened, right? But Justin says, no, you reached the spirit and gave him the spiritual gift. I go back to the hotel room and I go, God, Justin's a little too spiritual. We know I got a great deal of Hallmark cards. I put it to my desk. I had two buzzer thingies. You thought that I don't need it one, so I gave it to Steve. So this is how it really worked. And the Lord goes, what's the scripture I gave you? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh yeah, that scripture. But I'm learning to see that I may impart to you and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. Mm-hmm. And he says, there you go. I'm like, oh, I did give him a spiritual gift that Steve could be strengthened and established. Oh my gosh, God, I thought I knew this scripture in and out. The Lord will always, if he gives you a word, do not think you know it all. Mm-hmm. Let him expand it more and more and more and more. I got this scripture, Romans 1:11, back in the 88 or 87. And I studied it inside and out, but just 2 years ago, he expanded it more. So when the Lord, when the fire is in you, you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on it, the living word of God will erupt and be kindled, be ablaze. Mm-hmm. Words you received last year, last night, 10 years ago, if you let the Holy Spirit to blow on it, will now reignite and be something totally different. Wow. The word of God is alive and well. This is all about conduction, right? Wow. You know, let him touch you, let the fire burn even brighter, right? Don't feel the fire yourself. He wants to blow on it and cause you to be ablaze. Okay? That's direct contact. What is direct contact? Direct contact is out of relationship. Mm-hmm. When you spend time with him, he'll blow on your words. Prophetic words, words in your private time. All those words need the power of God, the life of God, the breath of God, the fuel of God. This is how fire spreads, right? Let him blow on your embers. Okay? Another way that fire spreads is by convection. Convection is when the fire is burning and it's like a fluid and it's flowing from one area, from a hotter area to a cooler area, right? So a lot of us are like, hey, I'm not going to that church anymore because it's a cooler area, because it's cold and I'm hot. But they need your fire, okay?
There you go.
Your fire. But you can't go into a cold area being a small flame.
Right.
You got to go in that. So that we're afraid of, they're so cold, they'll put us out. Mm. Okay? Now, if that's true, you need to be ablaze.
Come on.
You need to be like Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 against 100, right? And then you say, before we do this thing, because it says, stop playing cold and hot. That's my words. Stop, let the God who answers by fire serve that one. And the people goes, yes, we will serve the God who answers by fire. Do you know you are the fire that people need to see and they'll serve God?
Mm. Come on. True.
Do you know that you are the fire that they're waiting for? Once they see that blazing fire coming out of your belly, coming out of your eyes, coming out of your being, coming out of who you are, they'll go from cold to hot. This is convection.
Convection.
Okay?
It's cool.
The fire in you touching others. This is where you are your brother's keeper. You may be the divine spark they need if you let them out. Mm. Right? Now this is a faith deal because no one wants to go to a place where it's lukewarm, they're damp, they put out other people's fires, it's a danger zone, they hurt you before, they don't deserve it. All of those things are excuses. Okay? You're called to love your brothers and sisters. Right? When the Father wants you to go to that cold place, don't go, oh no, don't go. Go, Father, I need to be ablaze. What did Jesus say? The verse. He said, I've come
to set a fire on
the earth. And how I wish it was already kindled, blazing. Mm. This is just like when Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find blazing ones on the earth? Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Jesus. Okay, wrong answer. You need to be burning, you need to be occupying to become. You need to be kindled. What is kindled? You have all the fuel. You have all the desire. You're fully engaged with the Holy Spirit. He's breathing on you. If fire is God plus Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you need to hang out with the Godhead. Where is the Godhead? Colossians 2 says it's in your belly. Well, I thought that they were far away. Nope, they're not. They're waiting to talk with you, dance with you, move with you. They're waiting for you to go, what was that word you gave me last year? Let me breathe on it and ignite it in you. Make it fresh in you. That you're a living flame, right? A living sacrifice. You're still burning, right? People, I forget the guy who said it. He says, I'm gonna live my life, I'm going to set my life ablaze so people come watch me burn.
Yeah.
Right? You said that?
Yeah, I forget who. It's one of the fathers of the faith.
Yeah.
Smith.
Who?
Jonathan Edwards or Smith Wigglesworth.
Okay, that's your homework. Go find that quote. You know, set my life on fire so people come watch me burn. Will you be a living sacrifice? Will you be a burning, blazing one that's going to change everything? Right? Or will you just stay warm by your little fire in your belly? Oh God, I'm glad you love me. Thank you for keeping me warm. Oh, you love me so much. Me, you, and my house, and my Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for breathing on me. Keep my flame just kind of tiny so we can be okay. I want to cause a forest fire.
Yeah.
We don't want to get out of control. Mm-hmm. God's going, I want to change. I want to burn the earth. I want to show myself strong with you. Lift up your head, O you gates, the King of Glory may come in. Will you partner with the King of Glory? Will you partner with the all-consuming fire? That's the question. Will you partner with the all-consuming fire?
I keep thinking of, I heard this, I don't know if it's true, you might know if it's true.
I don't know.
Some of these forest fires actually have to happen. You know, there's a lot of fires across the nation, but they actually allow the seeds of the trees to come forth, like to pop out or spring out. The heat causes the seeds to be released.
The redwood pine cones open.
Yes. What was that?
Yeah,
when the pine cones open. Some pine need fire to release their
seeds. It's true.
The redwoods, I think, are also like that, where they cannot open up without fire.
My name is John Wesley.
Wesley.
The Methodist.
I know.
The good Methodist.
Right,
you don't have
to. Brad
has
a question.
No,
Brad
no.
Has a
question.
I was a Methodist.
That was Methodist. I was a Methodist.
I was a Methodist. I'll claim.
I don't know if anybody else is getting this, but that buzzing, every time it buzzes, whoa. I keep thinking we're in an elevator, and it's like we're going up with levels in the elevator.
Come on.
And
another floor.
Every single time it goes off.
Right.
That's good.
It's nice.
It's like going up the floor.
Well, yay. What's going on now?
Was that Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory where they burst through the ceiling?
There we are.
All right, the third way that fire spreads. So God's so cool, three ways, you can all Trinity thing, but God's not locked into a way. We're limitless, right? And how does the Father want to spread you across the world, right? Will you go with them? He says go, but will you go, right? The third way is radiation. Heat traveling via electromagnetic waves. This is frequency, right?
Yeah.
It travels so far, you know, radiated heat goes out in all directions, unnoticed until it strikes its object. This is stealth fire. I like that. I just made that up. Stealth fire. And so, and you've done this. I know if you walked in any major city, if you've ever touched the building, because on a hot day, you can feel the heat come off of that. And even your own, you can take your hand and put it next to your face and feel the heat radiating off your hand. Mm-hmm. I used to practice, I do a lot of things. So like, here's some practical exercise for you. You should go places and see if you can release heat out of your body beyond the 1 inch and further out. Mm-hmm. Okay, just practice that. I used to try to practice melting snow like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd envision me and my Iron Man hand going, ing, and I'm my flaming torch dude, Johnny Storm, going, My dad has is a gated community, so instead of pressing the button and going to the gate, I will take a few minutes and we'll try to release a frequency. I'll try to open the gate through me.
Wow.
This is my practice. And I'll go. And sometimes there's cars behind me. But see, this is my practice round, right? When are you using your, when are you practicing, right? One of these days, I'm going to do this, and the gate's going to open, mm-hmm. right? And then when I do the beam, you know, I sometimes got to go, beep, I try my own. Beep, can I release a sound that opens that gate, mm-hmm. you know? When I go to some stores with the magic eye that opens the doors, mm-hmm. I'll, you know, it's like a 3-foot radius. I try to see if I can open it at 5 feet away. If I can release something ahead of me that that thing picks up before I do. These are easy practices. No words are needed. No shofars. No banners. Go to Walmart and see, okay, when does that door open?
Yeah.
Okay, it opens at 3 feet. Okay, take a step back and go, open.
What's the scientific term for that?
What? Practice? Practice?
Telekinesis?
Why should we?
Exactly.
Yeah. So in this stealth heat thingy, heat traveling, Psalm 97, 3 through 5. Psalm 97, verses 3 through 5. A fire goes before him. Mm-hmm. What?
Yes.
A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies around about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. Oh. We're supposed to be a visible display to all the world. First of all, creation's waiting for us to get our game on, right? His lightnings enlighten the world. I personally believe it talks about in Revelation that there's lightnings around the throne.
Yeah.
I believe that's light beings, that we can be that light running around the throne. So that's just me thinking that. A fire goes before him. Verse 5, the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So again, fire is who he is, right? And this is not fire, the bad fire. We think of fire, houses destroyed. This is the raging, all-consuming fire who our God is, right? And we need to figure out, how do we embrace this fire, right? I'm like, before I did this study, I had a negative context to fire, if you will. I thought of how, you know, they have sacrifices and stuff, but the first sacrifices are our God, you know, God's sacrifice, but I keep thinking of all the bad movies I've watched, and they're doing sacrifices of this, and the witches are dancing around the fire, you know, but we need to reclaim that back, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be dancing around the bonfire, and I've danced around a bonfire. We had one up here in Ashland a few Memorial weekends ago. We had this major fire, had drums going around, and we were dancing like it was just all that, right? And there's something about when you, again, we know we behold the Lord, we become like him.
Yeah.
When we start knowing him as fire, it says he makes his angels winds and flames of fire, right? That's us, right? But will you want to be? When he says, hey, what a good stuff for me? Well, what do you mean? What are we dressing like? This is a yes or no question, Molly. We need to get faster in saying yes. Who wants to be a flame of fire for the Father?
Come on.
You know?
Yes.
Now, what's the consequences of being a flame of fire? Does the couch get burned? Right? I mean, I was in the sauna one day, and I was in there by myself. And I try to build up to where I can go 30 minutes, you know? I'm making patterns with my sweat droplets and stuff. And maybe creative in the sauna, right? Or you just burn up, you know? So one day I was doing that, and I'll try to move, and I can drip, and I make countries out of the drips, you know, and stuff. And I make England a lot of my drips. I don't know why, but it's England drips, you know, and doing that. And so I'm doing the drips, looking down, and trying to concentrate. And when you're sitting there trying not to burn, and you're dripping and you're trying to make drip things, I start focusing on things. And so I start having this thought conversation. I'm pondering on something. And I get up to leave, and there's my big puddle that I made. But when I go hit the door to leave, I look, and there's my sweat markings, but there's another sweat marking next to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm freaking out, because there's only me in there for 30 minutes, right? And I'm like going, who was there with me in the sauna? You know, and I was like, I kept thinking, how did a wet mark get beside me, right? I mean, I had my wet mark, you know, on the step below me, but right here, there's another butt mark right there. And I'm going like, what? So what are you believing for? Will you allow God to manifest in your presence any way he wants to? Or do you have to be the last Facebook way, or the last Ascension way, the last? Our God's awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's not put him in a box, yeah. Okay? So, I mentioned to somebody, you know, off tape that I've got on my podcast site, teaching called Dominion by Displacement. And the scripture, which I didn't use on the tape series, but I just found, it's really good. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is where the Philistines, the bad guys, got the Ark of God, and they put it in their God's temple. The small g God's name is Dagon. And the first day, they go in there, and Dagon is falling on his face before the Ark of the Lord. The second day, they put him back up on his thingy. The second day, they come in, his head's chopped off, his hands are chopped off. And so this is, there's something about his presence that comes out and affects everything around you, right? Now, here's the Ark of God, you know, and there's scriptures talk about that we are the new Ark of God. We're carriers of the presence of God, right? Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm dead. We need to figure out, how do we live this life? Because I'm still here. But how do we do this thing? How do I drive my car and I'm dead and he's alive? How does Jesus live through me? How do we navigate this? How do I go to my professional job and live, but not be religious and preachy and, yeah, you know, and weird? How can I be the life of God, the fire, in a place? When I was working in downtown D.C. at LaFont Plaza, when I was game on, means I'm not, I was Christ-minded, not Wally-minded, right? I wasn't thinking about being late. I was like, I'm going to change the seventh floor. So when I got out of my commuter thingy, I'm walking across, and I look up in the buildings, and I go, I know all the angels there, and I'm bringing a multitude with me. As I was going up the elevator, I release angels every floor. Take that floor. And I'm just taking dominion on purpose. I saw them on the outside. I didn't see them on the inside, but I'm going to take the second floor. Just take it. Take the third floor. And the building was mine. You know, right? And that was on a good Christ-minded day. On a bad day, be like, man, I got a report due. What did they do? I'm now into my world, not his world. It's up to you whose world you want to live in.
Come on.
Okay. In John 3, again, I'm telling you, I'm on year 5 in John chapter 3. And it's really evident in John chapter 3 that Jesus was fully active in two realms at one time. Okay. And I remember years ago, the Lord said to me, you need to make your home or your place of origin in heaven. You need to live in heaven and visit earth and not be on earth and visit heaven. This is pre-ascension time, right? But we spend more time ascending up the hill. We need to live here and visit earth.
Yeah.
Get our priorities right, right? Is it more important to be known on earth or be known in heaven? In deliverance, what they got, what the demons say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Wally I know, but who are you? And I've heard a couple of messages on that, preachings on that. It says, one was by a guy out of Ohio. It says, are you known in hell? When I first heard that, I said, I don't want to be known in hell. I mean, I want to be known in football, da, da, da. But there's something about having a reputation. Mm-hmm. Are you known as an easy win enemy? You want some points? Take out Wally. He's easy. just give this tempt the girl with a short skirt, he's gone, you know? Or are you, dude, don't go against Wally. What? I can take him. No. I got spanked by him last week. He's a force to be reckoned with.
Come on.
He's an all-consuming fire. I tried to sneak about him and I got burnt from the backside. There's something about him. I'm just telling you, don't mess with him. What did Demon say about you? What are you ranked in the Demon Hall of Fame? Ooh, she's a level 7. Stay away. Don't. You need like 18,000 demons to go against her. Don't go with less than 3,000. I'm just telling you. She will wipe you out. You know. How are you known, right? Or are you like, I was someplace, and this is the funniest deal. Well, I thought it was funny. I was someplace and had this thought that I'd heard someone said that, and I started pondering it. The thought was, how bored are your angels? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are your angels seeking to trade you in for somebody else that's fun? Someone that's doing adventures. I personally have seen in one of my angel books that I know for a fact angels hate to be bored. They hate stagnation and inactivity. They love movement. They are the ones that are assigned to your life respond to your voice. If you're not praying and believing for things, they're inactive. They're waiting for you to send them on missions.
Come on.
You're not sending them, they're like, Lord, you told me Wally was like your man. So why aren't we doing anything? He doesn't do anything. He has no declarations, no prayers. He talks about engaging God, doesn't pray anymore. I am bored. Can I trade? I could be worshiping you, but no, you assigned me to Wally. And you said he's awesome. I don't think he's awesome. And they report back to somebody. What are your aims reporting back to the captain about? Are they like, we need reinforcements? She's sending me everywhere. I can't do all that she's saying. I am trying. You give me all this speed, but she's so demanding. She wants to change everything, and she believes it. Can I get some backup here? Who are you talking about? I'm talking about Julie. You know Julie. She's that fire blazing down over there. I need some more help here. All right, we'll dispatch another 1,000. Another 1,000. You out of your mind? I need 3,000 minimum. 3,000 minimum. I'm not leaving here. You give me 3,000 reinforcements. Because Julie's out of control. She's believing the stuff. Are they reporting that? Or are they going like, matter of fact, Dave and a few of the guys want to be reassigned to somebody else. Because she's just, you know, she's taking care of her husband, the family. We just need 7. So can you reassign the other 3,285? Because they're kind of bored. They're losing their sharp. Their blades are getting a little dull. Mm-hmm. It was an angel named Dave, Dr. Dave Hudson Dave. So. See, what are they talking about? Are they sharing the great victories they've been a part of? Or are they just like, who do you got? Oh my gosh, you got... What are you guys doing? Oh my, I wish we could go with you. God, can I go on their team? Mm-hmm. Right? So, yes. Wow. What does the presence of God in you do around you? If the presence of God in a false temple made a whole demon come down, cut his head off, and lick, what's the presence of God doing around you?
Kicking ass.
What?
Kicking ass.
Transforming. Good. I don't know if they do that, but I know he does that.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, good answer. Hopefully you've heard this before. I'd heard of Maria with Eder, that she had a 1 mile radius around her. To where she's going through town, and this blows my mind. I want to find someone this happened to, or the relative of. But people would be, if she's going to a city, people would fall into a trance a mile away. And here's the reality, here's the practical of that. Some husband comes home after his long day, and his wife's there with the vacuum cleaner frozen. that's me, right? And then he's like, you know, they're calling 911, you know, and take her to the hospital. And I'm going like, what is my life affecting other people, you know? So I was meditating on this one time, and I thought, well, if Maria could get 1 mile radius, I wanted like a 3 mile radius as I was driving down I-81. And I was believing for the power of God to affect 3 miles this way in the highway and 3 miles this way. And I didn't tell anyone I was believing that. I get to the meeting, and it was I had not been to this meeting group before. I walk in, and the guy in his message looked at me and says, "Hey, what are you believing for?" And I said, "Well, I was believing if I had a 3 mile radius that the power got out of me was affecting people in a 3 mile radius around me." He goes, "Whoa, wasn't expecting that." And I go, "Well, you know, you asked me. I was just glad I was reaching up there. What are y'all believing for?" Right? I mean, so my friend in college, a guy who discipled me for 2 years, when his car parked in the athletic parking lot, he was a gymnast. Godly gymnast, the guy discipled me.
Wow.
Yeah. So the guy came to my dorm room before he discipled me, he had the four spiritual law thing tracks, you know that? Mm-hmm. Knocked on the door and said, I said, "Oh," he goes, I know this. Yes, yes, no, yes, yes. He goes, "Oh, you ready for it?" Duh. And this guy discipled for the next 2 years. Whenever Bernie came to the dorm, he parked his car, and our dorm was three floors or four floors. If you walked in the first floor, people started, you could hear doors slamming and shutting and all this activity going on in the dorms. And what they were doing is they'd be tearing down the nudie posters off the wall, hiding all of the pornography off their desk. And Bernie was not a hell preaching guy. Bernie was an athlete, he'd already graduated, he was working on his master's. But he would come and share the gospel to all the other athletes in the dorm. And to this day, I don't know how they knew he was coming, but they would do this all the time. And when he would do this, I go like, "Well, I'm a Christian. How come they don't respond like that when I walk in the dorm room? No one moves." I'm like going, "Look at the other," but when Bernie walk in, they're like diving to hide stuff, right? And Bernie's not going like, "Hey, yeah, I see you got a nudie." He's not doing that. He's just like, "Hi, you know, can I do something?" I now believe it was the presence of God in him that they respected. They knew that he was a God carrier. Do people know that you're carrying the King of Glory? This is not about a t-shirt that says, "I'm carrying the King of Glory," you know, or the hat I bought yesterday says, "Jesus on the inside of me." I did buy the hat. But can people tell something's different about you? Right? And that was 1999, high school, 1981 type frame. So I'm believing that something can leak out of me, and not my eloquence of speech, you know, not my t-shirt or haircut or not my whatever shirt, but it's some stealth heat coming out, right? So I believe you can actually release the fire, right? I have a podcast on there called, what do they call it? It's called Exercise Putting on Your Spirit Man. And I did this in Houston, Texas. And what we did, had a group of people, and we're looking at the house across the street, and we're trying to release our spirit to the house over there, and to believe goodness and salvation for the house across the street. And we were practicing touching that house across with our spirit.
Come on!
And we were just like, "Let's reach on!" And we were practicing, right? And if you listen to that tape, it'll walk you through the exercise. It's a wild deal, but. And I was getting it from, and you know, in Genesis chapter 1, we know we have the Holy Spirit brooding over the earth. And we know in Matthew or Mark or Luke, I think it's Luke, where Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so one day I thought, I think I can overshadow too. So it's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to believe it. It's another thing to believe it in action, right? And I believe we can do that. So when I was in, I've had three encounters with Justin Abraham. The first time was in a dream. Second time was live. He was in my car. The third time was in Harrisonburg. The fourth time, he says this. At the same time, when I gave him Stevie the spiritual gift, I'm talking to a friend of mine. Justin, when you go to a conference with Justin, he's really being a friend of God. So he's more important to have his relationship with the Lord than people in the audience or whatever, you know. He's really walking that. He's in his message. He's more transparent than I am. I think I'm very transparent, but he's really transparent, right? Anyway, so I'm in this meeting, and I'm talking to a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while, and he walks up to us and says, he says, hey, you know when your spirit's out there, when you're ministering, and your spirit's way out there, and it's tough bringing it back? You know what I'm talking about? And I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. And my friend goes, he gets starstruck by, you know, the celebrity. I'm like, dude, come on. No, it's just Justin, you know. And Justin starts explaining, yeah, my spirit gets out there and it's tough bringing him back. You know what I mean? I'm like, no. What? And all I can think about is when you're fishing and you throw your line out there and it gets caught in a tree, you can't bring it back. That's what I'm thinking. What do you mean your spirit's out there? You can't bring it back in. You're like, so I'm like going, so I'm thinking like, first of all, you're rude and you're interrupting my conversation with my friend, and you're telling me something I have no understanding, right? So he stands there for a minute, thinking that maybe we'll get a rubber. I don't know why he stands there. He walks away, and I turn to my friend, do you know what he's talking about? Nope. He didn't preach on our team. He's walked up to our conversation and said this deal. And I'm going, I don't, that was weird. So I go back. So an hour later, I'm back in my hotel room. I go, God, what was that? What does that mean? And God doesn't answer me. And I'm thinking like, well, I guess then it's not important, right? So the next day was a second session. No one did anything weird. But on Sunday, I decide instead of going straight home, I'm going to stop at a friend of mine's church, right? So I get there early. I don't tell my friend I'm coming. And so I get this church. I've only been to this church twice. It's the second time. And I get there early enough for early morning prayers. Like some churches have, you know, prayer before the service. This church has an hour of prayer. The last time I was there, I went to prayer early, and I was doing my, you know, I'm not shy in my tongue, so I'm a tongue talking pacer, hand arm flailer. Okay, that's me and my. That's me and my deal, right? Yeah, so I'm like, I'm free. I'm like, yeah. I got a few high. I need a radius around me. Forget the presence; it's the hand movement, right? You know. So that's me freeing God, praying tongues. One time I did that, and I walked into a prayer meeting. They were African. I couldn't speak their language, so I just did tongues, and they loved me. I don't know what's doing their language, but it was cool. I accepted. Anyway, so the last time I was at church, I did my prayer thingy. You know. And so I get to, I'm about to do the same thing, and the Lord says, don't do that, release your spirit. And I go, I'm not Justin. Justin is someplace else in America. Tell him, he knows how to, I don't know how. And the Lord didn't like my excuse. He repeated, release your spirit. And I said, I don't know how. Right? And this is where what the scripture said earlier, sons that are led by the spirit, he's trying to lead me to something that I know not of, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, when you know not of something, you have to trust your leader, right?
Right.
Don't ignore your leader. Don't make excuses for your leader. Just do what your leader says. So I was learning to trust in this of arguing, right? So I'm like, so I'm standing there.
That's good.
I want to do what I'm used to doing, familiar, which is pretty free and wild, you know. But now my leader's saying, release your spirit. And I'm like, I already said I don't know how, but I'm thinking, okay, if he says me to do something, it means I can do it, right? If the Father asks you to do something, it means you can do it.
Yes, Lord.
Okay? I'll say it again, because you aren't getting this. The Father asks you to do something, it means you can do it. If the Father asks you to do something, it means you can do it.
Yes!
Yes.
If the Father asks you to do something, he's equipped you and made you able to do it. So in that moment, I'm like, I just said earlier, I don't know what to do, but I knew he was trying to help me, right? So I said, okay, I'm standing there. I'm not a small guy, right? So I'm standing there, and I'm saying to myself, okay, spirit, be released. I feel nothing go in me, out of me, around me, but all my in my imagination, I've seen all these movies, I want a mist to go psst.
I'm just being honest, right? I'm waiting for the helium balloon to go. And then I know my spirit's out there, right? But there was no. So I'm standing there waiting. I'm thinking, how long does it take for my spirit to get out? And then Justin told me it's hard to get it back in. He told me that. I got a fact here. And so I'm thinking, so I'm standing there. I'm not moving. I'm standing. And I'm now conscious of people who saw me before a month ago. And I'm thinking, they're thinking I'm weird because I'm not moving. My mouth's not open. And I'm just standing there releasing my spirit. It's, you know, which I don't know what's going on. So I'm standing there thinking, is it out yet? Because I don't know, right? I've never done. I'm just like going, are you done? Are you out? Are you in? Are you out? Is there more to come out? Do I pump you out? I mean, I don't know, right? So I'm standing there going, I'm feeling kind of awkward here. Can I at least move a little bit? And because I personally don't like people who pray silent prayer, because I think it's not real. Wally's bad opinion. Mm-hmm. So now I'm doing what I think is wrong. I'm standing there doing silent prayer. As received by others, right? And so, but I'm thinking, okay, are you out? Are you doing something? Are you been released? And so that's what I'm doing, right? So then I think, like, man, I'm feeling, can I move? Okay, am I allowed to move? Do you move when you release your spirit? How's this working? Are you out yet? I don't feel you out. Man, maybe feelings are okay, because I felt and I know, but I don't know. So I'm in my head, right? And this voice says, you're very intimidating to them. I'm like, no, intimidating is when I pray in tongues my way. That's intimidating, because I'm flailing, and that's intimidating. This is unintimidating. This is a large black man standing still in the middle of prayer time, who must be in a catatonic deal, you know. This is not intimidating. And I'm thinking, like, how can this be intimidating? So I'm now thinking about this voice that says it's intimidating, and thinking, I'm not intimidated. How could this be intimidating? Are you sure it's intimidating? I'm going through. So maybe this means my spirit's out. Since we're now on a different topic, right? So now I'm reasoning in my head what intimidation is, and I'm not flailing. That'd be intimidating. I'm not marching. I'm not my loud tongues. That's intimidating. And this voice says, find the strongest spirit in the room and let them know you're for them, not against them. I'm like, find the largest spirit in the room. Is this a game? Is it, are they wearing shirts? Are you the largest spirit? Are you? I mean, and I'm thinking, like, do I move? Can I move? And I'm thinking, find the largest spirit in the room, and then tell them you're for them, not against them. So I'm in my head going, like, okay, head, you've got no answer for this. I mean, because I don't know how to find a spirit. I don't know how to find the strongest spirit. I don't know how to communicate with the spirit. I barely know how to communicate to God. So we're way out of my league, right? And so I say to myself, I have no idea. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in front of, I'm still physically standing here, but in my imagination, I'm standing in front of someone sitting on a throne, and it's a lady, and she's got in one hand, she has an orb, in this hand, she has a staff. And I realize she's the strongest spirit in the room. Because she's on the throne, right? And I'm like, okay, found her. Okay, I'm supposed to say, I'm for you, not against you. So I go, in my mind, I'm for you, not against you. I'm here to be a part of what you're doing, right? And then I hear the vision of the church in my head, what they're called to do. And I'm going like, this is amazing. My imagination is great. It's making up this stuff, you know? This is so I'm having this encounter in front of this lady on the throne with the scepter. And I'm trying to tune in to what I'm hearing or thinking or whatever's going on. And all of a sudden, my chest pain hits my chest. And I open my eyes, and my friend, who I didn't tell was coming, hit me in my chest. And I'm like, come on, dude! And he's like, why didn't you tell me you were coming? And I'm looking at him like, I just went through all this. You know, I can't say, I was releasing my spirit and you, because I don't believe it, right? And he's like standing in front of me like, why didn't you tell me? I'm thinking, I cannot, I was at a heart attack, you know, coming out where I was back to where I am. And I'm like, and I can't explain it to him because I'm thinking, I don't know what I was doing. But 45 minutes had gone by in that whole thing, wow. Right? Mm. And I'm like, wow, what just happened, you know? So I push it off to Wally's wonderful imagination.
Wait, you were in that state for 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was 45 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, standing.
Standing, not moving and feeling odd, okay? Mm-hmm. And so he hits me in the chest, and so now I'm like, dude, I don't say I was in the spirit of the spirit. I'm just like, dick. And I'm thinking all that I did, was that real, was it false? He goes, what are you doing here? I'm thinking, why are you talking to me? I was talking to this, I think, I go, dude, don't hit people like that, you know? And I sit down, and then the worship leader comes down and talks to me, says, hey, you're going to worship with us today? I go, I can do it again. And so I go on stage, and we're drumming, and we go in this prophetic deal. They have a house prophet, and this dude went, just giving prophetic words to everybody and stuff, and I'm going, do I want a word? No, I want a word. Do I want a word? I want a word. And the lady is a lady leader person, and she's starting to shut down the message. And I go, God, I want a word. Then she turns, the lady says, prophet, give Wally a word. I thought, wow, God's listening to me, right? And so the prophet comes up to me and gives me this word. And it was a word I hadn't heard before, which is pretty cool. And so somehow they squeeze an usher behind me, okay, which I don't know how because there was like no space there. The prophet's standing in front of me, and the lady in the pulpit is standing next to me. And so I assume the position, you know, hands out to receive, right? And when I did the hands out, I closed my eyes so I can concentrate more to receive the word, you know. The prophet takes my hand here, and the lady takes my hand here. When she touches my hand, I feel a ball. I feel the orb. And I know it's her. She was the one. So now I know the whole thing I experienced wasn't just Wally imagination. I feel the orb in my hand. I open my one eye like, oh, I want to go, it's you. But I can't do this. I'm getting a word from the prophet right here, right? But all of a sudden, it all flashes back that she's the strongest spirit in the room because she's over the church. She's the lady. I'm like, you're like, cause I was shocked, right? Because I wasn't expecting the, you know. And I'm like, it's her. Do I tell her? Does she know she's her? I mean, I think she's her. It's her. So all I'm saying, you can release your spirit. You're allowed to overshadow territories. You're allowed to keep stuff. You're allowed to be and hold and stuff. You can practice this stuff. There's a tape out there that will walk you through it that I did. But will you follow the leader? And will you be free to let that fire in you burn out and have an influence and touch society and be influence your realm? Or will you just be normal? It's optional, right? This has nothing about the love of God. God will love you whether you release your spirit or not, right? But many people won't have the benefit of you touching and changing their life if you keep it all in. Your life is not your own. You should be sharing the fire, okay?
So, quick question.
Yep.
About
even like, long questions are okay.
The one that what Justin was talking about to you about, have you had problems bringing it back in? Was there any more input or did anything else happen with that?
Again, he said something I had no idea about, right?
Uh-huh.
And then a day later, I now was the first time ever was finally released in my spirit. Now, I didn't have to, remember, I was hit in the chest.
Yeah.
You know, and I was back. And there was no, it was shocking, right?
Yeah.
Since that time, when I go to church, game on, and not like, I need something, when I go to give something, what I do now, I heard it first from Ian, but when I go to church, to my church, I'm on the front row with my drum, and during worship, my desire, and what I do, or I release my, I bring everyone in the room to heaven. That's what I do when I go to church. And my mind goes, what if someone doesn't want to go? Well, they shouldn't have come to church today. Because I'm bringing everyone up.
Oh man, okay? That's powerful.
That's what I do. Okay. And so, and one time when I was release my spirit and do what I could do, you know. And so the more you do it, the stronger you get. Mm-hmm. The first time I did it, I was like, okay, I want my spirit to touch that wall over there. And I was trying to expand, right? And the first time at my church, my home church, in the comfort of my church, I released my spirit to try to touch the wall. I'm trying to feel the wall that's 40 feet behind me with my spirit, right? And the wall that's up there. And then one Sunday, I'm like, hey, let's do this. And the Lord goes, I want you to put a crown on everyone's head. Now, there's a, this is stupid, but this is real. I'm like, yeah, because I'm now leading. I'm following the leader, and I got to where I believe this. So our church is separate in 4 sections, right? So in my spirit or in my imagination, either one. And now, whether it's imagination or my spirit, they're equal to me. Okay, so I don't argue with myself. Is this your imagination or is it spirit? Mm-hmm. I just believe. Okay, so that's settled in me. Before, it was this argument. Is this God? Am I right? I just believe. So I'm doing this. I'm placing a crown on everyone's head because he said so, right? And I'm doing that. I'm drumming and I'm doing 2 things at one time, which is kind of weird, but I was able to do it, right? So I'm drumming and staying on beat, which is very important to my worship leader. And y'all, worship people know that, right? You know, Wally, stop, you're off. Okay, you know, so I've gone to that stage. I'm drumming, following my worship leader, and also putting crowns on everyone's head. I did the first section, and I'm very pleased that I am following the leader and doing what he says to do. Because this is my demonstrating love for the Lord. Because if you love me, you do what I say, right? So I'm now loving the Lord by doing what he says, right? And I need to make up for all the times I've not done what he says. So I'm, yay, I'm doing it. You know, I'm loving my Lord. And I get to the second section, and the only thing I can explain it to you is I felt tired, but not physically tired. And I don't explain it because I'm physically in very good shape, right? I do a lot of aerobic stuff. If I go to the gym, if I got 30 minutes, I'll do 30 minutes of aerobics. And so aerobics is always first and everything else is second. So anyway, so I'm physically in shape, but I get to the second section and I'm kind of tired. So then I go into reasoning and I go, Lord, I don't think they deserve a crown. And I think they don't deserve it. They need to do, and I'm starting to tell God this deal. The Lord goes, give them a crown. Why? It was like there was a bag of crowns and I started thinking, I think we'll have enough. I say that. So I'm justifying not doing this spiritual activity because there's not enough crowns, they don't deserve it. Or because, you know, and it was the weirdest deal. But all I can tell you is I felt like I couldn't do it, so I was making up reasons not to do it. Okay. So back to I don't think it's hard to bring back your spirit. I think it's hard to stay in the spirit. Okay. To stay focused or attentive or whatever. Because you're not used to it. It's just like a preparing for a dance, right? You build up your endurance. We need to do things in the Spirit so we're strong in the Spirit. So we are Ephesians 6:10. That we're finally be strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord is being in that place. You're not falling out of it, right? That you can stay in the Spirit, stay drumming or dancing or whatever, and being active in both realms and not being lazy, okay? And so, and we know that praying in tongues edifies your spirit, man, right? So if you don't pray in tongues a whole lot, if you're not doing what he says, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. If you're not at that level, that is one reason why you're weak spiritually. That you're not able to fulfill the spiritual task you're called to do, okay? Yeah, that's just true. So, does that help answer your question?
Did you ever pray over the lady with the ball in it? And the staff, did you tell
her? I didn't pray over her. I've yet to tell her. I've not told her who I saw her as.
No, but I mean, you were given a word from the Lord, weren't you, for her?
No. I was in the spirit. I was supposed to tell her in the spirit that I'm for her and not against her. When I was standing in front of her, I said, I'm for her. And then she started telling me about the mission of the church. Mm. Okay?
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
That's so cool.
Because see, when I was manifesting that strong, the voice said I was intimidating because all of a sudden there was a greater force there. And a lot of times if I walk into some places, me, Wally Johnson, and I puff up, And around other men, there's a guy thing. Guys are territorial, okay?
So are women.
Well, guys are territorial physically. Women are better territorial. Anyway, so if Wally Johnson goes in someplace and there's a guy with a girl and I want to, you know, intimidate him, I can bump him, right? And he can either say it's an accident or was it me trying to challenge him, right? So when I was in the spirit, I became stronger and they sensed something strong and it intimidated them. And I was supposed to let them know that I'm for them, not against them. Now, I didn't know this teaching. I was just following the voice, right, type deal. But I now know that in the natural and the spirit, you have to let them know who you are. Okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, we will intentionally think that, I'm in some place and I feel, you know, that whole thing about your hair stands up on your neck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes we default to that's evil. Okay. Or the Bible says they were frightened of the terror of the Lord. That's because his power is so intense. Mm-hmm. It's not evil. It's just intense. And so, that's why they always, you know, froze at the feet of the angels and stuff and be not afraid. It's because of the intensity, okay? And so you realize greater he that's in you, when you release that intensity, sometimes you got to tell people, hey, whoa, I know it seems like there's something here that you can't control, which is true, but it's the King of Glory coming out of me, okay? Don't run. It's okay. I had a word years ago. It was something like the Lord sees this, the shackles of bondage on your hands and your feet. If you come for now, his power will remove the shackles. It was an amazing deliverance word, right? Mm-hmm. No one came forward. And I sat down thinking, Lord, did I miss it? And he says, no, they're thinking that the intense power will explode them, not the shackles. I went, oh, I went back up and I did an addendum word. I said, excuse me, for those who don't understand, the power of God will not hurt you. It's against his shackles. It's against the bondage. It's like a laser, but he's refocused. He won't miss and hit your heart or something like that. He'll destroy the shackles, you know? All right, that's the word. Thank you. And again, none will move. But there's something about, you know, does he really love me? I don't know. That's a powerful person there. It's like I used to go to my daughter's school. I'd wear a tank top. I'd go work out, get pumped up, wear a tank top, and make sure every little boy in her class knew that I was her father. You understand that? I was making a declaration. If you touch my daughter, I will hurt you. Just I was physically doing that, right, to make a statement. I would sit down next to these boys and they'd be like, hi, sir. Yes, I'm Mariah Johnson's father. Who are you? So I had to look down at them. That's what I would do, right? I wanted to know there's a force to be reckoned with. Now, a lot of them feared me, and I didn't mind that. Then finally, they're like, Mr. Johnson, you're playing. Yes, but I will hurt you if you touch what I love. Mm-hmm. You know? But I'm also here for you. No, if there's any father issues, if you need a ride, you know, I'm good for that. You know, but I first wanted to know that my daughter is loved. And there's someone that, you know, in the spirit realm, when you start releasing who you are, people who don't know God will be afraid of you. Mm-hmm. Okay? They'll be intimidated by you. And by love, you got to let them know that, oh, I'm sorry. I know you're in charge here. I just showed up to this Bible study. It's cool. I'm not here to take over. I can't tell you how many times, why are you here? I'm supposed to come. And they're afraid because they know who they are and they sense something. They don't know what they sense because they're maybe learning, you know, their senses. And all they know is you're something. And hopefully you can explain that, oh, I'm just learning how to be strong in the Lord. Love you. Mm-hmm. So you don't want my meeting? No, I'm just supposed to be here. So don't let their insecurity change you. Okay?
That But that's a very common thing.
It's a very common thing.
Wouldn't you say that to people? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, leaders. Leaders are weird.
Very common thing.
Well, you are a little intimidating than the natural.
Yes, so that's true.
I'm 6'5" and 200 pounds.
Yeah. I'm only 6'1", see? You know, but see, it's all reference, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, once you find out who you are, it's like there was a lady, we were talking about angels one time, and she lives in a very bad part of D.C., right? And she's walking down the street, and a real gang is walking towards her. And she knows that she can't run because they'll run her down, right? And so she's not intimidating. She's a small white lady, and black people are coming toward her, and she knows the gang colors, right? And so instead of going into fear, she goes into trust. And she says, "Father, see what's in front of me?" And all of a sudden, that gang turned around and walked the other way. And she was like, "What?" And the Lord goes, "I sent some angels, and they saw who was with you." What? And now, she didn't see who was with her. She heard that. Whatever the case was, there was no more issue.
Come on.
Okay. We need to live that kind of life of no more issue.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yep.
But if you turn to yourself or turn to something else you trust that's not as strong as the Lord, then
you're in trouble.
You could be in trouble, right? Yeah. You know? And so it's like one time in the natural, I was working out in my college team, and I was bench pressing 3-something, and a girl that I trusted, she was less than 100 pounds. She was a sprinter on the team. In the room were guys bigger than me. But on that day, I wanted someone that I trusted. And so I'm bench pressing for my personal best, 3-something. The girl only weighs 100-something, right? But I trusted her. She was encouraged. She believed in me. I wanted her spotting me. She looked down at me and goes, "Well, you got to get this because, first of all, I can't, and you can do it." You know?
Wow.
And then one of the guys on my team, because, "Well, you know, you got me spot you? She's got this." And she went like, "Yeah." Gives the hand, right? And I bench this thing, and she's a "Good job." And I went, "Good." But it's about who do you trust. It was more important for me to have someone there who believed in me than someone who was stronger than me, mm-hmm. right? And it's about the same thing to you. Who do you know? Who do you trust? Who are you relying on? Okay? You need to build that. Don't wait to the fire or the problem. Build it early. Okay? Again, we're still on the third way, that radiation thing, right? Another way is so when a fire releases heat, it also releases light. Okay. And Hebrews 1 verse 3, I alluded to this earlier. It says, "He," speaking of Jesus, "is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the light," L-I-G-H-T, "being, the outraying, the radiance of the divine." Okay. That's what Jesus is. All right. It's a nice translation of an Amplified. So I read that scripture and I said, "Huh, I'm going to start believing that I'm also like that. I'm an expression of light." And again, I'm not going to go the whole teaching there, but on my podcast, I have a teaching called Light Beings. And so you get to be whoever you want to be in the kingdom. But what are you expecting? What are you looking to? Right? And that scripture that, you know, as Jesus is, so are you. You know, you'll be known as you're fully known. I think one of those ways that we're going to be is light. Beings of light. Actually, like lightning, right? And if you watch Wonder Woman, you'll see that she released lightning out of her hands, right? I believe that's us too. That's the level of power and light that we're going to be in, right? And you can have your own view if you want to, but it's a great teaching of light beings. So that's, and again, my podcasts are free. You can download them, listen all you want, and send me stuff like, "That's not true. I don't believe it." I go, "Believe what you want to believe." But the key thing is follow the leader. Okay, don't follow the speaker, follow the leader. Okay, and those who follow the Spirit are led. Those who are led of the Spirit are sons of God. Right? Those who are led of a speaker are just stupid. Okay.
Hey Wally, yesterday I was in a golf tournament early in the morning.
Okay.
The this like, I knew God was trying to show me something, but you just confirmed what it was. So, I was walking to the golf cart, and I passed just this part of the building. The building was probably 50 feet or 60 feet away from me. And as I walked past this, I felt this burning hot, like, you know, on the side of my arm as I walked by. And I was like, what? And backed up. And here what was happening was, it was early in the morning, and the sunlight was reflecting off of a window that was 50 or 60 feet away. And I was at the exact angle to feel, I felt the heat coming off of the reflection.
Wow.
From 50 or 60 feet away. It was amazing. And so I backed up and I stood there, and it was 20 degrees hotter in that one spot. It's crazy.
Wow.
So, but I think that's it. It's light.
Come on.
And heat and fire and reflecting the glory. I mean, there was a lot there. But
yeah, that's good. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
A request.
Yes, sir.
If it fits in anywhere tonight, could you lead us in some kind of exercise?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? You don't want to go there?
A specific exercise?
I was going to leave it open to whatever he thought was best. So.
Yeah, we can do that. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I was already seeing us. In a place. I don't know
what
I'm
talking about. That's good.
With the elevator thing.
So, again, we'll do that. Anybody else on that? And there. That's really good about that. As we start looking for what God's doing around us, we can start engaging in that, right? And then using it as a prop or example or a trigger for the things of God. Mm-hmm. We went to a synagogue. We lived in London for 2 years, and we used to go down to a Jewish synagogue in Golders Green, the older Jewish synagogue in London. And so my wife, we would take classes there and stuff. So my wife goes into the main sanctuary, right? And where we were taking our lessons, there was, I wasn't a big feeler and she didn't feel anything, but she would put her hand in the sanctuary and she could feel the presence of God and do this and feel nothing.
Wow.
Do this, feel something, like the heat thing you were doing.
Yeah.
And then she tells me, I'm like, what do you mean? You're playing the, put your right hand in, put your right hand out, put your right hand in, and you shake it all about, I feel the glory of God. And I'm like, I said, are you telling me, it was like this, it was like the doorway, and out, and she could tell a difference, just like your heat thingy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's always, so God's into his tangible presence.
Yeah.
And knowing God means the experiential knowing of God, not a mental ascent, right? Now, if you set your belief system that you can only know God according to your mental, which is where I was trained that way. There's no experiential, scripture, more books. Books who study, you know, and I was into those books because I thought it was the only way to know God, by more head knowledge, right? Then I meet people who were having experiences. I was like, no. See, let me talk to you. You can't have an experience. That was back then. Now we have books. We don't need experience. We have books. We can read about the experience. So I'm trying to convince them. They're like going, oh, really? We can't? No. You baby Christian. You know. Can't believe you have experiences. Come up to where we are. Here's your book. Read and take notes. I thought that was a high calling. Read and take notes, right? And then I keep meeting people with encounters. So then I was like, then I got to, well, okay, this isn't working. Because I kept meeting more people, right? And okay. All right, encounters are optional. Some people need an encounter. Those weak ones who can't get it, like
the brain, yeah.
And like me, I've got this down. I know God. I don't need an encounter. Yeah. So if you need one, bless you. How many have you had? 13? Great. You ready for a book? Not ready for a book yet? That's okay. Let me know when you want a book. You know. You need a notebook? Here you go. You know. Mm-hmm. And so then I moved into that realm of, okay, some people have encounters. Spiritual ones don't need one because we're secure. That was my new doctrine for a while, for a long time. Then I'm reading Acts. I'm reading about Saul, who's about to go off and kill more Christians. He has an encounter with a ball of light, right? I'd read this before. I've taught on it because I'd written notes on it. No experience, but the notes, right? Mm-hmm. And it's one time I read it, and I realized that I read the story. All of a sudden, it comes to my mind that, you know, after this encounter, Saul never became Saul ever again. Mm-hmm. He became Paul. Mm-hmm. His life of killing Christians and doing things for God was over. He was now doing things with God. Mm-hmm. I looked at that and thought, well, that's nice. I thought, wait a minute. I have memorized scripture. I've done all this stuff. And I've gone back to the old Wally. It looks like here that an encounter will put you someplace where you won't bounce back to the old you. You'll stay a new you. And on that day I went, wow, I think encounters are mandatory. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to fall back to the old me. So I never had an encounter at that point, but now I was like, I need one. Mm-hmm. So at that point, a week later, I wrote to my pastors, dear pastors, the reason why it took me so long to come to your church is because, well, honestly, you guys are very spiritual, as in spiritual flakes. You have all these encounters. I had no encounters. And honestly, you reminded me about Genesis, about Enoch, who walked with God and was not. I didn't want to be a not because I don't know what a not is. Not seems to be like zero. I like to be something. So the not thing scared me, and you people scared me too because you're so spiritual. But I just realized that encounters should not be optional. I think I need an encounter. I'm now willing to be a not. So if I don't show up in church, it means I walked over God and was not. I'm believing for that now. Sorry for all the judgment about how weird you guys are. But I'm now ready for an encounter. I was afraid of encounters. Mm-hmm. But now I believe that an encounter was what I needed, not to tell a story, but so I could get into the non-Saul life.
Yeah.
To get into the Paul, dependent upon God, change forever, not changing back life. Right? So there are decisions that you have to make that will forever change you, but you've got to make them so that he can do that permanent stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Now, there's stuff I've done that, I've memorized chapters of Bible. I fasted 20 days, 40 days, right? But things didn't stick. I've had encounters that have been just like stupid strange that stick, right? From what I told you guys on the patio about the Heidi Baker appearing in front of me in the chest deal to where I go down to a John Crowder deal and I'm watching all these trancy people. I said, the Bible says trance, but I don't like trancy people. I don't like people who jerk and stuff. I don't jerk. You know, my friends jerk. I don't jerk. My brain goes, why are you jerking? You're having a conniption. Something's wrong, you know. My brain is bad like that. But I love my friends who do that stuff, right? And I go down this meeting and everyone is not only jerking, they're on the floor for hours at a time. They're standing in a trance. They're rolling in a trance. I don't know what they're doing. I don't do it, and I'm judging them all around, right? And I go to this meeting, and I remember this girl walked in the door, and she walked in, she was bam, on the ground. I thought, my analytical mind was, you wasted $35. You're getting nothing out of this. You should be like me, my notebook, and taking notes, you know? And somehow, we get to a two-hour meeting, and I've got lots of notes. And all the other people are on the ground, wasting their money, you know, wasting their time. And I've got notes for those who come to. If you want to read my notes, I'll give them to you free, you know, because you've been out in the spirit. You know, I know. You're drunk. Got it. I know. Really changing your life. You know, showing off, right? So, this girl, I don't know why, she was kind of cute, but I don't know if it was just the cuteness, but I watched her come in. I said she wasted her money. She's crawling around the floor. Now, I used to be a bouncer at a club, you know, kind of deal. So she's up in the front. People are dancing around. I'm now protecting her from being danced on, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm physically intimidating these drunken people. Hey, if you stomp on her, I'll stomp on you. So they're dancing around the little girl's body, right? You know, and I'm like, you know. So now I'm like protective, whatever mode. She crawls over finally next to me, and the dancing stops. One of these tattooed guys who says he loves the Lord. A tattooed guy comes over. I have tattoo issues too. Sorry, bro. No offense. Anyway, so that would work. So this guy comes over to the girl who has been on the floor the whole 2.5 hours. And she kind of comes to a little bit. And the guy says to her, what's it feel like when you're there? Now, I ask 1 billion questions, right? I want to take these people back and keep their eyelids open and interrogate them with stuff to know the truth, right? That's what I want to do. But he asks the question that's burning in me to ask, right? And she says, you can't fake this. And then she's gone. Mm. And the guy's like, I want it. And I'm going like, I want it. But I don't say it aloud. He says it aloud, I want it. And she's down. Mm. And I'm like, man, why didn't she say the answer? We want the answer. And it's drugs, I'm sure it is. And so the guy goes back sad. And then the meeting's kind of over, but this girl is still here. And I'm thinking, so she comes to again, and she looks up at me, and I'm thinking, I look down at her, I'm like, hello. Hello, little girl. Strange girl. Who wasted your $35? And she looks at me, and she does one of these, you know. And then I think, huh. So then she kind of, her eyes kind of open a little wider than before. I'm thinking, maybe I could interrogate her. I figure out what's going on here, right? But don't use the same questions. That question shut her down. So I got to figure out what the right question is, right? So I go, I know, I'll start off safe. Hello. You have to say it like that because they're spacey. You have to say, hello. So I went, you do? You have to go, hello. That was me being spacey too, right? So I wanted to connect with me. I went, hello. She went, so I was in the same kind of, you know, deal. And I'm thinking, okay, she's still with me, you know. And her eyes kind of clear up a little bit more. She had pretty blue eyes. And I go, so, now in my mind, in my interrogation, I know that these are all followers or all ex-junkies. And they're still getting their life right. And they're not quite in the kingdom yet. But they're this drug Jesus, drug Jesus, drug Jesus, drug Jesus. It's got to be drugs, right? But you can't be this happy just with Jesus. And so I want her to say, you know, I've been on drugs for all my life, and I just got free last week, and I made it here, but I'm still using drugs. That's my theory, right? But you can't ask that. How much drugs are you using? Because they'll shut down and go trance off again, right? Mm-hmm. So I say, hey, how many times have you come to one of these meetings? I'm thinking she's a follower, a groupie that's been going for years in the circle, right? And she says, second time. I was in Atlanta last week. Now my theory's being blown here. How could this thing happen in 2 weeks, you know? And then her eyes turn perfectly clear and they're bright blue. And then inside of me is like, danger, danger, marry a man, cute girl, run away, right? Mm-hmm. And I do this to move away, and this voice says, no, it's okay. And I'm thinking, I've heard the voice before, and I've messed up before, you know. Mm-hmm. But this time it seemed a little different, but not much different, so I wasn't sure, but I stayed in my seat. And now the girl that I have not seen stand up, well, other than the kid in the door, she stands up. I'm like, I didn't know she could walk. Yeah, really. She stands up, she's looking at me, and she, as she's standing, she says, a friend of mine was concerned for me, so she brought me to the John Crowder meeting because she was concerned because I was boy crazy. That means she slept around, okay, for case those who missed the translation there. I was like, oh no, danger, run away, you know, because, you know, she sleeps around with boys. I'm thinking, wait a minute. If you sleep around with boys, you need Sozo or Deliverance or some woman's ministry, not a John Crowder. I'm now confused, right? So now I'm now, wait a minute. So now his gloves are off. I go, that doesn't work with me. What's the real reason, right? Now she's standing fully straight up, looking down at me, because I'm sitting, she's looking at me. And I go, so what was the effect? What happened after you went to the conference last time? She goes, I now love Jesus, and I don't sleep around anymore. I'm like, what? Now, I don't know Jesus that way, as in that love and that satisfying, that fulfilling. And then she looks at me, and she goes, she points her finger at me. It was scary. I was intimidated by this little blonde girl, right? Her finger's pointing at me like this. I'm thinking, no one points her finger. I mean, bigger guys do, but no little girls do, right? She points her finger at me and she goes, you know what you need? I go, no. It was weird, right? All of a sudden, she was in authority and power, and I was into this, I don't know what's going on. I went, no. She says, you need a crush from God. She raises her hand
up.
Oh
my gosh.
And she goes, crush. I fall back in my chair. And I am big then and now, and I don't move at ease. I fall back in my chair going, what in the blank is this? Right? I'm like going, whoa. And I don't whoa, but I'm whoa, and I'm whoa. And I don't know what's going on. And I got this heat thing going on me. And my, you know, I don't know what's going on, right? But it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. I'm having an encounter with the love of God.
Come on.
And I didn't know you could have encounters with the love of God. It was very cool. So I'm like, whoa. And I don't know what happened to her. She crawled off, limped off, disappeared. I'm now feeling the love of God.
That's so cool.
And so I'm saying for y'all, encounters are mandatory, but it's out of relationship, right? I went there to buy a book and encounter with a crush girl, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so he knows what you need, but will you receive what you need?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What year was that?
That was...
You got crushed.
I got crushed 5 years ago, okay. Or maybe six. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a year, so maybe 7 years ago, I'm sorry. So, any other questions? Mm-hmm. Let me see what time we got. What time do you guys want? Do you want to do the exercise and then have another teaching, or what do you want to do? It's only 8:26.
Yeah, what do you want to do? Do you want to have...
How much time do you got?
Well, we thought we wanted.